Good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. My name is Joy Ann Haig and I will be your host for today. And looking after all things technical is my good friend Dennis Johnson. The number to call, 434-1790. And if you want to send us a WhatsApp message, 266-4862. Now, before I go on to what's really on my mind, and it's been on my mind from the beginning of March, I want to wish David Ellis all the best. I did not get a chance to get in. And the joke was that whenever you were having a bunch of moderators speaking, you might find it very hard to get in a word, in particular with Glenn and Peter, you're battling with. However, I want to say publicly that 2 years ago, shortly after my retrenchment, David and I had a conversation, and he gave me an opportunity to sit in this chair. And I guess you all could figure out by now, I'm not big on the politics. I'm more about the human interest stories and what I can do to help. And I'm hoping that I brought that to the table somewhat, and for Mr. Ellis to allow me to do that. At a time where I was in transition period, and he gave me that opportunity. So to David Ellis, I want to wish you all of the best. I am surprised that Dennis did what he did for you, that you allowed it to happen, because you're a very private person. And to see Dennis, by the way, congrats to Dennis for pulling off an awesome production with all of the players. To Vic Fernandez, if he's listening, just know that when you left Starcom Network, you left a good wicket, but it needed a good batsman to continue. And David Ellis certainly did that, as well as from the other previous CEOs of Starcom. David was the station manager, and he has left this place in a good position. And whoever takes over, you've got big shoes to fill. So I just wanted that out there. And again, publicly, David Ellis, thank you so much. Now on to my main point. This is the month of the disabled, and I think it's a little sad, and I know Dennis would agree with me, that we don't keep this subject on the front burner throughout the year, but we happen to highlight it for the particular month. And that's fine if you wanted to highlight, but I really feel going forward, we need to hear more about persons with disabilities, not necessarily their challenges, but their feel-good stories. And there are a lot of good stories out there that a lot of persons are not aware of. And I do have on the line someone who knows a lot about special needs, children in particular, because she works at the Derrick Smith School as a clinical social worker. Her name is Pamela Jones Goodridge, and I'm going to link up with her in a minute because we wanted to touch base on the online learning experience for persons with children with disabilities and how parents are coping. Now, I know most of you know that I am a mother of a child with a disability, and I can tell you I have failed miserably trying to get the online process done. Had not been for Auntie Pam, because that's what we call her, affectionately Auntie Pam, who's on the phone, had to call and find out what were my challenges, etc. But it's difficult because Sky, she's 21, it's vocational online learning, a little bit different from the English and the maths, etc. And then when you have a lot of other things to do and you're home, you have to manage that as best as you can. And parents of children with disabilities, believe you me, it becomes a tougher task to do it, especially where you have to participate, you have to sit there, you want to make sure that you know they don't move away or do this or do that, depending on the disability. And then you have other children who are very disciplined in a lot of ways, regardless of their challenge, they normally would sit put and you go like, wow, I thought this was going to be harder. So it varies from parent to parent, but I know for a fact that hopefully we got on track last year. we got off track after the death of Sky's granny, and things can happen in your family that can throw you off of what you need to do. I certainly never would sit here and tell anyone that I'm a perfect parent. Lord only knows that I make some missteps in trying my best to manage. So without further delay, I'm going to let Pamela Jones Goodridge. I wanted to ask her a few questions and probably get a few little tips for parents and to hear how best that they can, her ideas and suggestions as to how they can manage and what has been the feedback from the parents when it comes to online teaching. Good morning, Pamela. Auntie Pam, are you there?
Good morning.
I hope you don't mind me calling you Auntie Pam, but for those who just went in, Pamela Jones Goodridge, clinical social worker, Derek Smith School. Pam, Auntie Pam, I just wanted to know if you can shed some light on what's happening out there. What's the feedback like from parents during this time of the pandemic with online learning?
Yes, it has been quite interesting going along. Last year was the first time that we switched to the online platform. I must say that at the Derek Smith School, we were great. We were up and running even before the full ministry online platform started. And we started on our platform, Zoom. And for most of our students, it was actually something quite new, something fun, and it was exciting. And that stemmed a lot from the fact that our teachers made it very interactive for them to be a part of these sessions. We do have students that, as you would have mentioned, based on their disability, are unable to sit right through this session. But the thing is that learning doesn't just take place by just sitting quietly in front of the screen and absorbing everything that is told to you. Learning is a process that involves connecting with the environment, connecting with the with what's around you and stuff like that. So while we may have students that may satellite, that is that they're not able to sit still, they're still absorbing what is being told to them. And we might have the teacher tell them, find something. They might be dealing with the color red, or they might be dealing with the letter R. So find something in your house that is red, or something in your house that begins with the letter R. All of that is learning, and it's what we will look at being functional and interactive learning.
So what are some of the challenges you find that parents are getting, if any? And I imagine that there's some, because it's been challenging for all parents, not just children with disabilities, but parents with children with disabilities. What have you been finding? What have been some of the complaints?
Well, one of the major complaints would stem from students who need more hands-on assistance from parents than a child who's typically developing, when that parent also has to, be working from home. And it can be a bit of a challenge, you know, trying to get your own work done for your company or organization, plus assist your child with the work that is required or needed. So one of the things that our teachers try a lot to do in situations like that is to give students the opportunity to do work outside of the classroom. It could be a matter that a situation where they might be given an assignment to submit the next day, that they can do the work offline. But majority of our online classes are interactive, so to speak, which can help to minimize the amount of involvement that the parents would have to give. But that is one of the most challenging things, the parents who have to be online for who have work. One of the other challenges would be in terms of parents who actually may not be working from home, but actually have to go out to work. So we've been trying to encourage families to create communities whereby, you know, getting both parents in involved in the care and control of the child, as well as utilizing extended family members who may be able to assist.
I know there are some complaints have been that there's some family members in a pandemic. For example, mommy has to go out. There's no father, or daddy has to go out. There's no mother, or both of them have to work, depending on how the household is structured. Then it's difficult to take the child to granny, because granny may not be techno savvy or may not have the time, or in obviously in a pandemic, because you don't know who is positive or not, then you have to be mindful. So the people you normally would reach out to that would have been some help.
Yeah. And the thing is, we do have one of the things that we have implemented within our system is we have, our you resource teacher, IT guru, Janice Stevens, she assists a lot in because we have what is called TeamViewer on our laptops, and we because we do have a laptop loan program for that's the other challenge that we had students that were not did not have devices, and we implemented a laptop loan scheme where some of our students were issued laptops who didn't have access. So one of the things that we do, we can, via TeamViewer, we can manipulate the screen so that students can participate in what's happening, because our external person can take control of their screen and what is being shown. We do a lot of screen sharing in our Zoom platform. So even though the student may not be able to manipulate their keyboards or keypad, because we have screen sharing, the teacher herself or himself, they can actually manipulate what the student is seeing for this class session.
Well, okay, so one of the other things I was also saying that is challenging because it's a pandemic, sending children over by other persons to with special needs, number one, forget the pandemic, just doing that alone can be a problem for other persons in the extended family or friends to even understand how to manage. And then two, of course, as a parent, we're all scared now to send the child somewhere else, because if you're busy, how can you then send the child somewhere else to even get involved in classes day to day? How often do you see that, if you're seeing it now, where parents have to send their children by another family member, and having COVID now out there rampant, is that being an issue where you see them offline for those reasons, maybe not being able to go by a family member, but the family member may not have the time to set up the Zoom for the child? Are you seeing that?
Yeah, we do have one or two students. Actually, we do not have them in the majority. We do have a few in the minority that are unable to access because they need that hands-on assistance and they don't have it from within their own home environment, generally because the parent is not as tech-savvy as the youngsters are. So, yes, we do have that, occurring. But what we do, our policy is no child left behind. So even though the child might not be able to access the Zoom platform that way, a lot of our parents, in fact, practically all of our parents, are quite savvy when it comes to the WhatsApp. So some of our teachers, when they have students in their classes, that presents a challenge. They have been on the site providing WhatsApp instruction to to students. So in one or two classes, actually I was in a class this week, our culinary class with our instructor, Auntie Joanne, and she was able to connect one of her students to the class using her phone, using WhatsApp. So even though this students in the class couldn't see him, he could see everyone, and he could take part in class, and he was fully immersed in the class.
And last but not least, I really want you to tell us about the Zoom party that I missed. What are you doing for children to sort of that relaxation time when they can't see each other at school outside of the schoolwork? I heard you guys did something pretty special. Unfortunately, we missed it, but tell us about it.
Yes. Well, one of the things that we started doing, actually from the last time we had a lockdown, we started hosting Zoom parties. We have our in-house DJ, Auntie Azana.
Wow.
She's our culinary assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And she provides all the hype and the music for the students to come together and have a jolly good time. We do that once per month. We had our Valentine's stay-home party the day before Valentine's.
Wow.
And from what I understand,
I missed that too. I feel shame.
Yes. From what I understand, it was a blast, and the students had a really good time. But mm-hmm. you'll be in time for the next one, because, like I
Fantastic.
Said, it's something that we are aiming to do every month.
Well, thank you so much. But Auntie Pam, before you go, I don't know if you got a chance to see the front page of today's newspaper, because this is going to take me
no,
into.
No, I haven't.
Well, it says here, welfare pressure, tight squeeze for two families. And there's a video online. This was done by the Nation newspaper, Maria Bradshaw. And it was highlighting a family of 14. And in this family, we have there are two children and two grandchildren with special needs and some adults with special needs. Okay. What I'm shocked by and disgusted by, the comments. Now, I don't know if people didn't read the story, but there are persons in that family with special needs, and all you are reading is, you know, nobody in the house, don't work, and this is disgusting, and these people are lazy, and be honest with you, this hurt my heart this morning in ways. I was telling Dennis, and Dennis can identify with the disabled community, always has, he has his own challenges too. And I could not for the life of me figure out why people would say such horrible things. And I said to Dennis, and I, you know, in this life, Lord, you know that you have to go, yes, at some point. But if this is how people would be, then you ask God, you know, you want to, you want your children to bury you, but you don't want to bury your children. But when you have a special needs child, you see and you read these types of things, it shocks you to say, dear God, I don't want to leave my child in a world like this that is so cruel. And I'm not sure if these people did not see the fact that the story was leaning towards the fact that it's not only about 14 people, the mother is challenged, the children in most cases are challenged, and children don't mean young, the adults, they're still somebody's child. And
that
it
is
just
very heart-wrenching.
It's hard to read it.
I haven't read the paper, and I'm actually quite happy I haven't read it, because things like this really, really infuriate me. I think one of the things that we as a Barbadian society need to do is to be more empathetic towards others, and that's something I find that we lack a lot. We like to be quick to throw out judgments at others without quite understanding the situations that people are in. And let's face it, one of the reasons why there's such a challenge within the disabled community or the special needs community in terms of finding jobs is because we have very few organizations, companies, and employers willing to actually engage persons with special needs in employment. And that will constantly be like fighting, I don't know, it's like fighting an uphill battle trying to get employers to recognize that special needs does not mean inability. They can do. They might not be able to do as much or as quickly as your typically developing employee, but they can do. Just give them a chance. Then we now also need to get over the rest of our society to recognize that because someone has special needs, it does not mean they're there to be pitied or they're to be looked down on. I find we do so much pitying and looking down on persons with special needs. And it is heart-wrenching when I see that happening. Last year, for the first time, we had two special needs students take part in BSAC. Mm-hmm. You know, we were, if not for COVID, we probably would have had a whole contingent of athletes taking part in BSAT because they are consistently showing that they have the abilities to do what any other typically developing youngster out there is doing. And we need, as a society, to start giving others a chance. As I said, I'm very happy I didn't see that article. Because I knew, I know something like that would incense me. Because my heart bleeds sometimes when I see the thoughtless and heartless actions of people, and as even so much as to what they say. Every now and then, you see people circulating memes and videos on social media, and when you see this, the person involved, you can tell the person is special needs. And I'm always wondering, why would you find something funny in sharing something like that? You know, these are the things that as a society we need to confront, we need to address society. But just how many of us are showing that Christian type mentality when it comes to persons that are different than others, persons that are special needs, and the whole gamut. You know, we need to start connecting with our humanity more.
Thank you so much, Auntie Pam. Give all my best to Auntie Cheryl Rock, Dr. Cheryl Rock. That was Pamela Jones Goodridge, clinical social worker at the Derek Smith School. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Yeah, I'm just recovering from death of my daughter.
Oh, no, my condolences.
Yeah. She was a slow learner, but she was a special needs, you would say that.
Mm-hmm. Right. My condolences to you, ma'am, and to your family.
Yes. So, I just wanted to say that, yes, slow learners are very...
You're going to turn on your radio for me? A little bit? Could you turn down your radio a little bit? Because you're getting some feedback.
Yes,
much better. So, go ahead.
So she was always very intelligent and quiet, but she was very smart, a very smart kid. She only needed direction. So if you take them to school for special needs, they work on them and they make sure that they are eligible to meet the world's demands. Because you will find that they're smarter than you. And they know a computer mm-hmm. better than you. They know the cell phone and mm-hmm. the flat screen TV. And they work as cooks, as in all kind of fields. And they are even more intelligent than a lot of us that pretend. Say, for instance, a blind. They see better than a lot of us that are not blind. And the special needs, they're trained. They're well, and they become managers and secretaries. And they walk the world, man. In pride, and they're good people too, and they're good guardians.
Well, I said to Dennis,
those people aside, you know.
I said to Dennis, instead of we, the quote unquote norm, trying mm-hmm. to make them like us, we need to be more like them, and that's the truth.
That's what I'm trying to put out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, how old was your daughter, and how long ago did she pass?
She was about heading for 41.
Okay.
And this month would be her birthday, March.
And she recently 21st. Left us? Or did she recently pass? Or this is... Did she recently pass away? This year?
Yes, only in January 20th. You know, faulty measures and things that was not addressed and looked at carefully, and she slipped through. Only if people had paid attention, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then to find her where she was and everything, it was just so bad. And then when you have to talk, they say, don't talk, you know, and don't fret, don't take back. You lost a life. That's your daughter. you know.
So how are you? How are you coping? I mean, it's only been January, and you sound so strong.
Yeah, I'm crying every day. Every day, every time I remember her, I cry.
Is there anything that you want to share with us, some memories about her that you want to share?
The memories about her that she stayed close to the family, and she never ever gave up us. Mm-hmm. Right? She was very, very attentive, a little bit stubborn, but she was very attentive to what was going on, and she was doing everything that you could possibly can that entail the family. Mm-hmm. Right? Until she slipped through that sad day, you know.
And the other family members,
all the families is devastated. They can't believe it. All them, they up to now they can't believe it. She just went into the hospital where that's where she died, mm-hmm. and that was it. The faultiness and the slowness and the not good attention. She just screamed out, and that was it. And everybody rushed to her after, and that was it.
Do you think her having a disability...
After trying to recruit, resuscitate her.
Uh-huh. Are you saying then, in your opinion, that it had a lot to do with her disability, maybe, in terms of how she was treated?
Nothing like that. No disability is the fault. She was just a person who liked to. She is independent. She is able mm-hmm. and willing, and she was healthy up to a point. She might have been a bit had a condition, but yes. Mm-hmm. But that was not the point of the condition. The condition is that another consequences came in there. So that they can deal with that, and it wasn't done right, it wasn't paid attention to the situation of the whole that aspire there.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear, really, really, really am. And you sound very strong, and I'm sure people listening to you right now probably feel the same way, because it's like I said, you're telling me this happened, you said 2020 or 2021? 2021 she passed?
Yeah.
All right, so this is less, it's only in March, so we're talking less than 3 months. And having the courage to call the program to share that with us, I want to thank you, too, for doing that. And may she continue to rest in peace. And again, my sincere condolences to you and to your family. Is there anything else you want to share with us before you go? All right, she's gone. Okay, thank you so much.